Well, hello everybody and welcome to our Academy Platinum call for July 10th, 2018. Just so we have a quick timestamp for those of you catching the replay. We didn't have any pre-submitted questions, but I wanted to kick things off with a question that has come up a few times in the past couple of weeks in some of my coaching groups. And in fact, I recently wrote an article on this. And so I know it's a common issue, regardless of where you are right now in your freelance business, what stage of your growth cycle, if you will. So we'll start with that. But I wanted to remind you, if you have a question, you can always go ahead and just type it in, submit question to Ed if you're on the call page right now. Or you can dial star 2 on your telephone keypad. Star 2 will raise your hand and I will unmute you. We can have a conversation. There's nothing that's off limits here. We can have a conversation about anything you got going on, any questions, any feedback you might need. If you want to strategize on something, I'm here at your disposal. So the question that has been coming up a lot lately is this issue of, you know, I have a prospect and they're interested in having me write X for them, whatever X might be. The problem is I don't have a sample of that. I'm very interested in writing that. I know I could do a good job, but I've never written one before. Or in some cases, I have written one, but I can't use it for whatever reason, either because of a non-disclosure agreement, the client specifically asked me not to share that sample, or whatever. So what do I do when the prospect asks me for a sample? And I find that there are really three steps to handling this. The first step is just explaining what you do have that's similar to X. Okay, so I don't have X, but here's what I do have. Okay, then the second step is explaining why that experience with whatever you do have will enable you to do a good job on X. So first step is here's what I do have, and here's why that experience and will enable me to do a good job for you on X, what you're looking for. And then the third step, and this is key, is really highlighting what else you bring to the table that's going to make you a great choice for writing X for the client. So, for example, industry experience. If you're really familiar with the topic that they want to write about for X, or if you're really familiar with their target audience. So let's say that they're targeting food and beverage manufacturers, and you came from that industry, or you have some experience in that industry from, you know, a past life, or you have a personal passion or experience with the issue or topic. Let's say, it's in the topic is something related to senior living, and you've had to deal with that with your parents over the past year or so. So you're intimately familiar with the topic. It doesn't have to be anything extreme, though, when it comes to something personal. It could be something just close to it, the fact that you're familiar with it because your wife works with those kinds of people or works in a very similar industry or is familiar with that topic. Even something tangential like that could work. So, again, the steps are, okay, here's what I do have that's similar to X. Why is that experience with what I do have, why will that enable me to do a good job on X for you, Mr. Prospect? And then here's what else I bring to the table that would make me a great choice for this project in terms of industry, the topic, the target audience, or personal passion or experience with the issue or topic, et cetera. So I'll give you an example of how you could position this, and just so you can understand how you could do 1, 2, 3 here in a very organic way. I don't have any white paper samples, Karen. However, I have written dozens of long-form articles that follow a very similar structure to white papers. I know I could put together a very powerful white paper for you. In my professional experience in the water and wastewater industry, will go a long way to creating a compelling argument for your approach to this challenge. I know the challenges your customers face. I know their businesses, and I fully understand the challenges that they're dealing with every day. And I'd be happy to send you some samples that speak to my abilities in this area. may I send those to you? Okay, so notice how I've taken a situation where most writers out there would say, oh, yeah, unfortunately, I don't have a sample. I've never written one. And what that communicates to the prospect is, I don't have the confidence. Sorry, you caught me. Never mind. I'm gonna back off now and go about my way. To, okay, I don't have that. Here's what I do have, and here's why that would be would puts me in a great place to be able to do a good job for you. Plus, let me tell you about these other things that I think make me qualified to do a good job for you with this particular project. Okay, so keep that in mind, and use it next time you're in a situation like this. And many times you can prepare for this. If you've had some email conversation with a prospect, you can anticipate that potential request. And if whenever you can anticipate it, then you can obviously prepare better. But what will happen is over time, you'll be able to respond this way and very effectively when you're caught off guard. And it just takes a little bit of practice, okay? But as long as you're interested and you know you could do a good job, use this, because then more times than not, it will work in your favor. All right, guys, so again, star two on your telephone keypad will raise your hand, or you can type in your question if you're on the call page. And I see that Janet has her hand raised, so we'll go there first. Hey, Janet, how are you?
Ed. Hanging in. All
right, good to talk to you.
I read your blog about this topic, and I have had a similar thing. I've had three prospects in the last month and a half, and to be honest, I'm not real jumping up and down about any of them, but willing to explore it. And one was exactly what you were saying, the very short, to the point email. Want to know your experience with heating boilers and cooling towers. And I'm going, writing. Send me samples of what you've written for the boiling and cooling tower thing. And I was like, well, that's a big nothing. But I went to the website and I was looking and I said, oh, okay, they're looking at water treatment for boilers and cooling towers. Well, again, I haven't written anything directly, but I wrote a lot for a company that made some HVAC treatment equipment to basically get rid of biofilm so that you wouldn't get Legionnaire's disease. And also, so I sent them an ebook I wrote about a regulation pertaining to heating and cooling equipment that they also referenced on their website. And I sent them the blog, and I explained to them that I had also worked as the water treatment engineer for a power utility for a short time. So I was familiar with the basic problems. And I have not heard a thing back. Dead silence. The second client is a manufacturer of basically a containment tank for chlorine gas canisters. One product. They want blogs, and they just threw five topics at me. They said, pick one and write a blog for us, and then we'll decide if we want to move forward. So I talked to them a little bit, and they have given me absolutely no background other than a brochure and their website. And I sent them, I said, okay, and I sent them my standard sheet for pricing and told them that if we were, then they said, if we like what we see, then we'll do several. And I told them that we could negotiate a package deal and yada, yada. And then they said, okay, here are the five topics, pick one and run. And so I sent them my contract in an invoice, and I didn't hear anything back. And so a week later, I contacted them, and they go, oh, yeah, okay, and send it to us again. And we chatted again. We've had two conversations now. We chatted again. I said, okay, I'm kind of understanding what you want, I think. And but not a whole lot of guidance, not a whole lot of information. And I said, and when I sent the email following the second conversation, it was good talking to you. This is the topic I'll do. I can, after we discussed it, I'll do my own research and yada, yada. By the way, was my fee and the contract acceptable? And I get back, gee, I've misplaced it. Send it again. So I did. And that's been a week. And I haven't gotten anything back. And I told him, I said, you know, I can go ahead and get started. I do have some availability right now. I can go ahead and get started and probably have something to you by the end of next week, which is the end of this week. But I haven't gotten a contract, haven't gotten a paid invoice, haven't gotten a retainer, you know, for anything. And I'm a little reluctant to even put a whole lot of energy into this if what they really seem to want is a free sample and then we'll decide. And, you know, I'm too busy for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then the third one was another company. It's a larger company.
Janet, before you go there, because these are three different situations. I'm going to lose the thread here. Is this,
okay,
are you, do you have a question at the end that's about all
three of
them?
My question is, how do I educate them as to the process and what I need and how we could work together? I thought I'd been clear and professional and straightforward and accommodating, and I'm getting dead silence back. And at this point, it's kind of like, okay, maybe you're not that interested, maybe I'm not either. I do have three or four other articles in the pipeline that I can be working on. I don't know, you know, if they've never worked with a freelancer. I don't know what their experience is of working with someone like me. And it's a similar thing, but a different set of it's with the third one. It's, we'll provide you everything you need, get us a price. And they said attached is what we will, a standard of what we'll provide. And I'm looking at it, I'm going, well, this isn't going to be adequate for me to write a decent article. I'm going to need to talk to a client. Well, no, you can't talk to a client. We've provided you with the quote. Okay, that's two sentences. It's out of context. And you want a 2,000-word article. I can't do that. I can't make that much up. But I don't know how to steer it in the direction of saying it's really beneficial for me to do my own interviews so that I can follow the thread and follow the progression of the project and things like that. And I tried that, and that fell flat. I'm not connecting right now.
Let me ask you, with all these three, has it all been over email, the conversations?
One of them has been phone conversations, the one with the chlorine container people. I've had two phone conversations with them, but when it gets down to signing my contract or agreeing to my fee, just an email that says, yes, the fee's acceptable, please move forward, I'm just not getting anything.
Gotcha. All right, so a couple of things. The first thing that you need to understand, let's take a step back here. You can't turn a bad prospect into a good prospect, right? There is nothing you can do to turn a bad situation like that into a good one in terms of, oh, they're clueless, I'm going to turn them into a, you know, an organization or a person who knows what they're doing and they're good to work with. If they're that bad, at this stage, you're not going to be any better if they turn into a client, okay? it's very rare for someone who behaves that way to be a pleasure to work with. No, I'm not saying you shouldn't take him on if this moves forward. I'm just saying you need to kind of
go
about it.
Open.
Yeah, exactly. And then you decide. Because, look, everyone has a different situation, right? You might need to bring a client. You might need some cash in the door. What? So you make the decisions you got to make, but at least you're making an educated decision instead of
right.
thinking, well, you know, maybe kind of like, you know, what they say with people who get married. It's a bad situation, and they think, well, let's have kids, and maybe that will make it better. Right?
Yeah.
Like, if it's a bad situation to begin with, when things are easy, when there's like no kids in the picture, throw some kids into the mix. That's only going to make things worse. So same thing here. So that's the first thing, because I think if you understand that, then I sense the frustration, and it's totally natural.
I'm really baffled
then,
by one, because it's an international company. They should have marketing people, but the model that they sent me of a case study it's a two-page thing with a six font, and it's just one big run-on paragraph, and it's like 1,500 words, and it's dreadful. It's absolutely dreadful.
Did they say that? Did they acknowledge that, or they just sent it to you without any comment?
No, they said, this is the model of what we would like you to do, and this is the information that we'll give you. And, again, it was one quote and a PDF that was made from the town's website. Nothing about the project.
Yeah.
But a quote and the demographics of the community. And like I say, I didn't even read their model. It was that awful. It was just like I got about 10 sentences in and then go, oh, this is just painful.
If that's
what they want me to write, I can't do that because I just can't. I can't.
Well, here's the other thing. When somebody sends me something like that and they don't say something to the effect of, you know, this is bad, we need something better. Then I'm worried, because if they think that's good work, then one or two things or both will happen. First of all, they're not going to understand my value because they're not going to know the difference. And second, it just tells me that it's a sloppy organization. I mean, at least their marketing department. I would be embarrassed to show that to somebody, right? So if I don't see it, then it just kind of tells me how they're operating. That just goes back to the bad prospect versus good prospect, and you know, you got to make a decision. But you know, I sense the frustration, and I just need you to understand that you're not going to be able to educate them. That's an uphill battle. So that's the first thing. The second thing, and I'm glad you had a conversation with one of them, but I'm a very strong believer in having a process for qualifying a prospect, and in you taking charge in leading the conversation with, you know, if it starts via email and then taking it to a phone conversation. So the how to qualify prospects effectively execution plan, you'll see my process, whether they were an inbound lead or whether you found them through your own outbound prospecting. It's important that you follow that process because it puts you in charge. And then at any one point, you can disengage if it's just not working. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you want to be able to find out as quickly as you possibly can whether or not this is a good fit. That way you don't end up, you know, spinning your wheels and spending a lot of time on somebody that is just not going to be a good fit. Again, taking into account your entire situation, because sometimes you got to do what you got to do, but you still should have some sort of process. So part of that process is, you know, what do you have already? When you start seeing those things, then at that point you can say, well, you know, that's not going to be enough, and let me explain why. Is there any way I can talk to – I'm going to need to talk to one of your customers. Oh, well, that's not possible. Then you can disengage at that point, you know, if you know it's not going to be –
How do you do that politely?
I do it. There's no formula to it. I do it firmly but politely. So I guess if we were to role play and you said, well, that's just not, we can't do that, then I would ask follow up questions.
We've given you a quote. We just can't do that. We're not going to subject our clients to that.
Okay. What do you have in addition to this that will help me put this together, right? Something to that effect.
We've given you everything we have.
Okay.
And that's kind of what
I'm
getting.
If that's all you have and you want X, right? So I'm seeing a huge gap here. I won't be able to give you the quality product that you're expecting. You know,
okay.
So maybe this wouldn't be a good, maybe I'm not the person for you, because in my experience, and I've been doing this for a long time, if I can't have these things, then the end product is not going to be a quality product.
And it's not going to.
And one or two things will happen. Maybe they'll recognize, you know, and then they'll kind of back down a little bit, or maybe they'll say, well, you know, then thanks, but no thanks. In which case, you've just saved yourself all kinds of headaches.
Yep. Okay. I just wanted to kind of bounce it off of you and see if maybe I was just being too rigid.
No, you're not. And you know what? I've had situations like that where once they saw that that I was willing to let it go, and that I had some standards that I wasn't willing to sacrifice, then they back down. And then, well, here's why we can't. Then they offered explanations. So here's why we can't give you that, or why we can't give you access to this. But you know, we do have this other thing, and suddenly they start thinking about how they're going to solve the problem. All you've done is, it's a hot potato. They threw the hot potato at you, and what I'm hearing, Janet, is you are taking the hot potato and your hands are burning, and you're frustrated. And I say, hey, toss it back at them, because it's not your problem, right? And if they don't want to deal with it, then it's their hot potato, you know? So think of it that way. Because you know you've been doing this for a while, you're not a newbie, and you know,
no.
And I totally trust you. If he didn't have what you needed, and you're asking for something that sounds completely reasonable, and they're not willing to budge, then unless you're willing to sacrifice.
I like when I do a case study. I like to also be assured that they will allow me to run the draft by their client for fact-checking, and to make sure that we haven't done anything that would inadvertently embarrass their client. Because when I first started out, I was a little too hard on the before situation, and the client was like, no, you're making it sound like we didn't care, and we did. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, you're right, I see what you mean. And I could soften it and take it in a little different way, but I very much want to be sure that I'm not embarrassing the client. I've had times when they've given me, when I've had a client give me the contact of their client, and I've called their client, and they were going, yeah, well, it works, but it really hasn't been great. And I'm going, okay, this really probably isn't something they want to showcase then. And so I really do want to talk to the client and to their client when I'm doing a case study to make sure that I've got the straight scoop, and that, because it's a small industry, if you put something out there that isn't how the client experienced it, everybody in their state at least is going to hear about it. And possibly in their region and in the entire company, if it's a big enough country, if it's a big enough utility. It's everybody knows everybody.
Here's something else I would recommend, Janet. So you could take a combination of what I gave you and what you shared with me that you've done. And have you heard of feel, felt, found?
No, vaguely, but I haven't Haven't read it, no.
I use it a lot in sensitive situations, which is instead of directly disagreeing and saying, well, that's not going to work, you start by finding common ground and agreeing, because that lowers the barriers, right?
Right.
So
right.
It's the – I understand. So if you start by get it, I get it, that's what you've got, totally understand. I know how hard it can be, you know, sometimes to get that. So that's the feel. I feel you. Felt is I actually even said it there, which is, you know, I've been there. So I get it. I understand. I've been in similar situations where blah, blah, blah. So I feel. And then found is, however, that's a transition. In my experience, and I've been doing this for a long time, when you don't have this, or some way to verify this or to access the customer, whatever, you don't end up with a good product, with a good quality product. So you start by agreeing. You know, you explain how you've been there before, or others, you've been in situations where that's happened to. Others have felt, or I have seen, or I have felt, and then found. However, I have found in my experience that yada, yada, yada. So it's a way of kind of diffusing the confrontation,
mm-hmm.
and in getting them to start thinking of solutions. But at the end of the day, the hot potato thing is still so true. I mean, it's really their hot potato. You're just trying to help them, but they own it.
Got it. Okay.
Okay.
That's helpful, because I need to get follow-up emails out to these folk, and I've just been kind of like, ugh, not even sure I want to, but I feel like I need to get some closure on some of it.
Sure.
So.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Thanks. I appreciate the feedback.
You're welcome, Janet. Okay, star two, guys, star two. If you want to have a conversation, if you have questions, Kelly just sent in a question. She says, I had a prospect ask for samples and my rates. A couple of the samples she wanted, web pages and flyers, aren't what I do, but I sent items that were relatively similar along with my rates. But I haven't heard from them in 3 months. I don't know if it was the rates or the not on point sample. Should I reach out again? So I'd say right now, Kelly, you have nothing to lose by following up. In fact, you owe it to yourself to absolutely follow up. Two things. First of all, when there's radio silence, in most cases, what I find that it's not you or your rates. It's something outside of your control, something that has nothing to do with you. Okay, so that's something a lot of us struggle with, is a follow-up to, oh my gosh, you know, what? I haven't heard back, what's wrong, maybe they hate it. When our work is so closely tied to us, because our work, we see it as an extension of us, it's natural for your mind to to gravitate to the negative stuff. But time and time again, I've seen in my experience, my coaching clients, I see this all the time. Oh, the prospect finally got back to me. They were on vacation, or they just had an off-site meeting, and then they got slammed, whatever. Even extreme situations where it's been months, and after repeated attempts, where the writer was on the verge of signing the deal, and then the prospect disappeared off the face of the earth. I've come across two situations in the past couple of years from some of my coaching clients where their prospect or their client was in an accident, a bad accident. In one case, he was in the hospital for 2 months, nearly lost his life. And, I mean, it was crazy stuff. Like, those are extreme circumstances. But I just want to let you know, the point here is most of the time it's not you, what you sent them, or your rates. It's something else. Now, there are times when it's what you sent them. That's fine. But bottom line is, I would absolutely follow up again. Now, the other issue that I should mention is, okay, how can we increase the chances of you converting some of these prospects to clients in the future? I'll point you to the How to Qualify Prospects Effectively execution plan. If you haven't gone through it, Kelly, I strongly recommend you do, because my process is basically this. You'll have prospects who are going to contact you, whether out of the blue or you reached out to them and they responded with a request. And the natural tendency for most of us is to comply with whatever they request without asking for something in return. And you need to start getting used to, I like to think of it as like, okay, I'll move if you move with me. So it's kind of like, I'll take a step if you take a step with me. Let's do it incrementally. If you ask me for all these things, I'm not just going to automatically comply. I'm going to ask you some follow-up questions. And that takes some practice. But that execution plan will help you start thinking along those lines and will give you a process for coming up with the best questions and leading these conversations in a really professional manner, in a way that not just gets you the information you want, but also increases the chances you'll convert more prospects into clients and positions you as a real pro. Because the way you handle this dialogue with a prospect, whether it's via email or phone, has a huge impact on whether or not you convert them to a client. Just by the way you lead the conversations, that can help set you apart from everybody else. So in the future, so one of the things you'll learn is when somebody contacts me and right away, okay, can you send me some samples? I see you write white papers. Can you send me some samples of white papers, especially if you've written any on this particular topic, and what are your fees? I don't automatically comply. I'll respond with, yeah, I got some. I've written quite a few. Or in your case, you could have said, well, I haven't written that. However, here's what I have done, and here's what else I bring to the table, just like what we talked a little bit earlier in the call. I don't know if you dialed in earlier. And then ask for something in return. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you're looking for? Or can you tell me a little bit more about – it really doesn't matter what the exact question is. You're just trying to kickstart some dialogue. Because the moment you just give them everything, then – it's you've lost the momentum. You have to maintain tension in the conversation. And when you respond with some, but then ask for something in return, there's tension in the dialogue in that it's unresolved, right? And now it's, well, they haven't gotten everything they asked for, and now they see that you're asking something. And it's almost like they have to respond. And I'm not saying everyone will, but you're dramatically increasing the chances of them responding. So always think of what is the end game here? Where do I want to go? And what you'll learn in that execution plan is you always want to get to a conversation. So in this case, if that's where I want to end up, in a conversation where I can have some real dialogue, what can I ask here? I'm not just going to give in to everything they ask. Is what can I send them? What can I give them? And then how can I continue this and make sure it keeps moving so that I can set it up for a phone conversation? So in this case, can you tell me a little bit more about what you're looking for? And then they respond, and then you can say, oh, yeah, I've actually written on that topic before. And then you'll have some raw material to work with, because what they respond with might give you something great, some great raw material that you can point to or that you can use as a springboard to then say, again, I've written on this topic, or I'm intimately familiar with this, or I've worked with a client who did something similar. Could we schedule a 20-minute phone conversation so I can ask you a few follow-up questions, give you what you want, and see if we might be a good fit for this? And that's your next move. So think of it as a chess master. You always want to take it one step at a time. Always know your end goal, which in this case would be a conversation. That's kind of the first milestone. That's the end goal, of course, is landing a good client. And then take it one step at a time. Okay? So, again, definitely follow up with this one. But in the future, try to set it up so that you engage them in email and then set it up for a phone conversation where you can really establish some rapport, ask some follow-up questions, and increase your chances that you'll turn that prospect into a client as long as they're a good fit. Okay. Star 2, guys. Star 2, if you have a question, want to talk through an issue, need some feedback. By the way, I'm not seeing the same screen you guys are seeing, but we've added a chat feature here to these calls, and I think it's showing up on your end. There should be a submit questions to Ed field and then a chat box to the right of that, I believe. In fact, let me type something into the chat box to see if it shows up on your end. Because I'm trying to make these calls a little bit more interactive, so we're trying something different here with this. If you're on the call page and see my chat, then you wouldn't mind typing something. That way I know you're seeing that. Of course, you might be seeing nothing right now. All right, it's an open floor right now, star 2. Star 2, if you have a question. Ah, okay, somebody says, yes, I see your chat. Awesome, okay. Thanks, Kelly. Yep, appreciate that. You know what, since you guys are seeing the chat, I'd like to go around the virtual room, if you will, and just hear about your wins. Anything over the past few weeks that you feel good about? Where are you making progress in your business? You know, where do you feel you've had some good progress? You're making headway. You're feeling good about it. It doesn't have to be a new client. But what has happened in your business over the past few weeks that you feel good about? If you wouldn't mind just typing into the chat box while I wait for questions, I'd love to see what's new and good in your world. And don't be shy. So what have been some good recent wins for you? Let me know in the chat box. All right, so we either have a lot of shy people or there's been nothing good. All right, Kelly and Janet, here we go. Let's see. Kelly says, I'm getting better at writing warm prospecting emails. I was really wooden when I started out, and now they're much warmer and relevant to the client. Oh, super. You know what's cool, Kelly, about warm emails is after you get the hang of it, you'll see that they don't need to be that customized. Just a slight degree of customization right there in the first two sentences is enough to make them effective. I'm working with several coaching clients who are keeping it 90% generic, and it's really the first 10% that changes, but the changes aren't that drastic. They don't really involve taking a deep dive into the company or organization, and they're getting the same results, if not better, than when they were taking a deeper dive and really looking for things to point out that were unique and required more research. So you may want to experiment with that. It doesn't require, in most cases, the level of customization that many people think. Just enough to show them that you've done your homework, that this is not a copy and paste job, that you really are reaching out to them. That will get you the response you need, is what I'm finding. Janet says, I have a really interesting article/case study for my number one client, and they have already paid me, unlike the usual having to wait for 45 to 60 days. Oh, that's, man, that's great. Nothing like a client that pays their invoices on time. Leslie, hey, Leslie, good to see you. Leslie says, I just finished a blog for a safety cover, and we'll get a new assignment on Friday. Unfortunately, my contact is getting a new job and will be leaving the firm. Any comments on handling the transition? Yes. So I urge you to look at those situations in a positive light, and here's why. The first thing I do is make sure I stay in touch with my client and ask them who the replacement is going to be and ask them if they can broker an introduction. Okay, you want to start contacting, reaching out, and forming a relationship with your new point of contact there. Okay, number one. Number two, get into the habit of asking where they're going. And if you're not already connected with them on LinkedIn, absolutely make that connection request, because step number three is to stay in touch with them and see if maybe you can help them wherever they're going. One of my favorite business building strategies is doing an amazing job for clients who end up moving around and hiring me in their next employer without losing my original client, if that makes sense. So they used to work for Company A. Now they're in Company B. They reach out to me. Now Company A is still a client, and now Company B is a new client, and that is awesome. And I love clients who move around every year or two, because that happens fairly frequently. But, you know, don't wait for it to happen. When it first started happening to me, it was complete. It was a fluke. It was an accident. Until I realized, you know what, I need to create the environment where those kinds of things happen more often than not. And what I just described is kind of my process, is, you know, see if it can help smooth the transition by introducing me to their replacement, start making contact with that replacement, building some rapport in a relationship, ask my main contact where they're going, make sure I'm connected with them on LinkedIn, and then staying in touch in a non-intrusive way, but definitely staying in touch and seeing, you know, if you can help them. And, of course, just let them know flat out. Like, if you know they're going to Company B and you know Company B could be a good prospect for you, let them know, hey, listen, Susan, I'd love to work with you again. If you find that you need someone like me at Company B, please reach out. I'd love to work with you. I've loved working with you over the past year, and I'd love an opportunity to do some more good work. Yeah, perfect, Leslie. So you're connected on LinkedIn. Stay in touch. Yes, excellent. All right. Don't see any raised hands, so I'm going to do a last call. Last call for questions. Star 2 if you have a question, where you can type it in. And while I'm waiting, I'm curious what, out of the few discussions we had today, what was a good takeaway for you? Something that, you know, maybe got you thinking in a different direction, something that you can put into action in the next few days. What's a good action item for you or takeaway from our conversation today? Would love to know in the chat area. Just type in takeaway or top action item. Kelly says, I'm going to be checking out your qualifying prospects execution plan. Excellent. Yeah, I think you get some great stuff out of that, Kelly. And it, you know, I included some good handouts there that make it very practical. I've had several people tell me they've printed it out, and they keep them handy. And when they have a conversation with a prospect, they have something they can follow that keeps the conversation on track, make sure they get the information they need, positions them as a pro, and establishes next steps, which are also key, and I talk about that in that plan. Leslie says, I'm going to review prospect qualifying plan so I'm ready for an unexpected call. Yep, perfect. Janet says, action item, crank up warm meal prospecting again to go after the prospects I think I'd really like to work for. Great. And that not landing a prospect might be the best thing that can happen. Yeah, the key thing there, right, Janet, was you can't turn a bad prospect into a good prospect. Another way I talk about it in the qualification training and in the pricing training and the execution plans in the academy is you can't close what's not closable. You know, man, even to this day I have to remind myself of that, because my tendency is, just like you guys, is, hey, I'm trying to generate business, but not all business is the same. And if something is going to be too hard, trying too hard to make it better, or to turn it from a bad situation to a good situation, you're doing yourself and the prospect a disservice, because in 95% of cases, if not more, if you succeed, you'll end up with a client you'll regret having, and that's not a good situation. Sometimes, you know, we have these signals that we need to recognize and accept early on, and I think if you look back, if you've been at this for a while, you look back and you can probably nod your head and go, yep, this situation, that situation, this other situation, the signs were there, but I ignored them and I went for it anyway and I lived to regret it. Now, again, guys, sometimes you got to keep the lights on, and I totally get it. But there's a big difference between I know what I'm getting into, but I need to keep the lights on, so I'm going to go ahead and go for it, and I don't necessarily need to keep the lights on. I went for it anyway, and I live to regret it. Good stuff, guys. All right, so we'll get this replay posted tomorrow, and as usual, we'll do a recap of the questions that were asked, and we'll timestamp that. So if you want to go come back to any of this, you'll have an easy reference. It'll take a few more days to get that done, but we'll post it along with a call in a few days. Hope you guys are having a great summer. I think everyone here is in the Northern Hemisphere. So hope you're having a great summer, and we'll talk again in a Platinum call next month. Take care.